In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme, where shadows of chaos dance at every turn, one truth emerges unyielding. Preparation is not a luxury, but a lifeline. Behold the Wellness Company, a beacon of readiness amidst the tempestuous seas of fate. Envision a sanctuary of tranquility, where the tumult of unforeseen medical crises finds no purchase. The Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit stands as a bastion of assurance, a fortress of resilience against the unseen foes of health. Within its sacred confines lie the tools of salvation. Ivermectin, to ward off the insidious whispers of disease. Emergency antibiotics, to quell the raging storms of infection. Antivirals, to vanquish the relentless tides of contagion, and more. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is not merely a collection of supplies, it is the embodiment of preparedness itself. Crafted by the hands of esteemed healers led by luminaries such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, this kit stands as the pinnacle of safety, the zenith of prevention. These truth-seeking doctors have forged a testament to vigilance, a testament to the unwavering pursuit of well-being. Embrace the certainty that comes from being armed against adversity. Embrace the Wellness Company, for in its embrace lies the promise of resilience, the promise of a brighter tomorrow amidst the chaos of today. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/strangeplanet and use promo code STRANGEPLANET for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow.
Richard Serrett's Strange Planet. Following the truth wherever it leads. Exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites. Revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality. Coming to you from the Great White North and his studio beneath the stairs. Here's Richard.
And welcome once again to another edition of Strange Planet. And if you'd like to delve a little deeper into Strange Planet, and that's what this program is all about, going deeper, right? If you'd like to get deeper into Strange Planet, you might want to consider subscribing to my premium subscription service. There are three monthly packages to choose from. Choose the one that's right for you. And you gain access to things like commercial-free listening. That's always a bonus. Although I appreciate my sponsors, believe me. You also gain access to bonus episodes, two a month in some cases, and a free subscription to my monthly newsletter, Inner Sanctum. So all you need to do is click on the link in the episode notes, which is strangeplanet.supportingcast.fm, strangeplanet.supportingcast.fm. All right. You know, for probably close to 25 years, both on radio, primarily on radio, and then later on television, and then most recently on the podcast, I have been talking about the climate change hoax. Well, climate change is real. That's what the climate does for the last 4 billion years on this planet. It changes. But the idea of anthropogenic global warming, man-made global warming, I have been railing against that for decades. And it is, of course, the latest in a long line of fear-mongering campaigns by the ruling elite. And we're going to get into that right now. Josh Reeves is a Dallas, Texas-based researcher, filmmaker, radio talk show host who first learned of government crimes in the 1990s by reading Jim Morris' Crossfire. That was a pivotal moment for a lot of us. Or a pivotal work for a lot of us, Jim Morris' work. And that led him to start investigating black operations and secret societies. He gives his commentary and original point of view on news and current events, as well as information about chemtrails and secret ancient societies, bloodlines, hidden technology, Freemasons, and the overall plan of the global elite. And he has been very, very busy this year, just producing documentaries. We're going to talk about his 15th documentary, although he's got a couple others already in the can and ready to go. We've previously talked to him about The Lost Secrets of Ancient America. That's a trilogy. The Spellcasters trilogy, which actually I think now is there are four films in that series. But right now, we are going to talk about Again, his 15th documentary, which speaks to a topic very near and dear to me, and that is called Climate of Fear, The Club of Rome. Josh Reeves, welcome back to Strange Planet. How are you, buddy?
I'm great, Richard. Thank you so much for having me, man.
My pleasure. You know, it's interesting. James O'Keefe, before he got kicked out of Project Veritas, they did this hidden camera, which is the stock and trade, really, with a CNN producer. And I don't know if you remember this, but they caught this CNN producer admitting on camera, a hidden camera, that now that COVID has sort of waned, look for CNN and other lamestream, I call them, media outlets to really start hyping up global warming and climate change again. And he was spot on, because as soon as COVID again started to wane, it was climate change, climate change, climate change, like on steroids. But this, the origin of this climate change hysteria goes back probably close to 60 years. I mean, I'm old enough to remember in the early 1970s, there was a headline or a cover story on an edition of the magazine Scientific American that was talking about global cooling was the next big threat, global cooling. We're heading into another ice age. Anyway, let's go back to the origin of this hysteria, and that is an institution called the Club of Rome. Tell us all about it.
Well, Richard, in 1972, the Club of Rome, when it formed, they formed it at David Rockefeller's villa in Rome, of all things. And that's pretty fitting. But they created this report with a supercomputer with an MIT scientist that was called the Limits to Growth Report. And with this, they predicted that stuff like resource usage was going to become unsustainable in the future, yada, yada, yada. And then, as you said just a minute ago, fast forward a few years later, and there they are in 1978, as you mentioned, they were saying even before that, that we were going into another ice age, and it was determined. And, you know, even the Club of Rome even believed that for a while, because they had that same sort of stuff coming back from the MIT computer reports they were getting. So they actually believed that for a while. And then I show this all in the film. I laid it out very succinctly so people can see this, because with this film, this is a completely different intention for every other film I've ever made, Richard. Mostly with the stuff, you've seen a lot of my films, mostly I'm trying to bring out stuff maybe people don't know about already or haven't heard a lot about. That was not my intention with this film at all. As you said, a lot of people know about the Club of Rome already. My intention with this film was to give people something that they can show to people and go, look, you know, maybe on the fence about whether or not the whole global warming, climate change thing is a myth or not. But in the film I show, 1978, there it is. They're telling us that another ice age is coming. Then 1980, the next clip, 1980, Walter Cronkite. He's telling us about this new phenomenon we've never heard about before called about greenhouse gases and how the planet was getting hotter and all this stuff. This all happened in the span of a short amount of time. And what's interesting about the Club of Rome's Limit to Growth Report is it really is about, you know, listen, I understand sometimes people don't want to get into the more foo-foo things of conspiracy theory and the woo-woo type stuff. This is all provable stuff. There's nothing in this film that is outlandish or outrageous claims or anything at all. These guys openly talked about how they needed to depopulate the planet to save the environment. I mean, this has been their agenda since the very beginning. They put this out in 1972. And really, if you want to get down to the, when people always say, well, they are doing this or they're doing that, they never put a name on it. Listen, you could pretty well lay everything that's going on in the modern age to the Club of Rome. I mean, right, I believe right down to COVID and everything else, really.
Right. So it is kind of the classic, the Hegelian dialectic in action, something that I've talked about many, many times over the years. I'm sure you've also discussed.
Yeah, problem, reaction, solution every time.
Yeah, problem, reaction, solution. So you create a phony problem, which in this case is climate change. Then the reaction is to, I guess, foment fear and hysteria, the need for government action, that's where like the Greta Thunbergs and the David Suzuki's and the Al Gore's come in. And then and the imposition of a solution, which is anything from, you know, destruction of a fossil fuel based economy, which would basically, you know,
collapse the entire world economy.
Yeah, I've seen reports. We could lose up to 2 billion people would die as a result of this. I mean,
starve. Fossil fuels aren't going anywhere. That's the whole thing about it, Richard. That's why the whole thing's such a scam, is because the oil and gas companies are not going to give up. They love. This was the thing that was shocking to me in the research for this film. The oil and gas companies love electric cars. You know why? Because you're limiting their supply. That's why the oil and gas companies have put so much funding and so much research into electric cars, because they want to keep their oil and gas supremacy in place into the future. And like Richard just said, in a way, it is good. You can't just pull the rug out from underneath that thing overnight and expect the whole world isn't going to collapse right underneath it. The thing that was shocking to me, Richard, in finding all and looking into this climate change. I mean, I like you, I've known this was a hoax for the longest time. But the number one driver, like you said earlier, climate change is real. It happens. Yes. And the number one driver of climate change on planet Earth or anywhere else for that matter is only one thing. Its host star, the sun. That's the number one driver of climate change. Other things can interact with that. That is true. Absolutely. Environmental conditions do impact the effects of any planet star. But the major thing here is that I was shocked to find out how much the oil and gas companies are behind so much of this stuff with the pushing the agenda. I mean, we know that Queen Beatrix, who was part of the Club of Rome in the 1990s, Dutch Royal Shell cooked up the whole, you know, peak oil thing to tell us that we're running out of oil, which is the farthest thing from the truth. There's more oil in the ground on Earth than we will ever use. That's a complete lie. They just want to keep They want to have a pretext to be able to sell their products for more money and charge more under the guise of saying that we're going to run out of it. They're doing the same thing now with global warming and that scaremongering of that. They're jacking energy prices and stuff up now for the same thing, because then they just blame it on, you know, oh, well, it's because of environmental rules and stuff. But really, it's just a scam. That's essentially what it boils down to. They want to depopulate the planet to the point to where almost no research. There's even a clip in the film, I'm sure you saw it, Richard, where the guy says, you know, look, if you want a cleaner planet, you're going to have less liberty. That's just all there is to it. So pick one. What do you want? You want more liberty, or do you want a clean, you know, non-polluted planet? Because you can't have both.
Right, right. You mentioned how the oil companies are in on this scam. And I agree, it's about creating false scarcity. It's always about keeping more oil in the ground, because with scarcity, you have an increase in prices. And who writes a lot of the regulations in the United States and in Canada regarding the creation of new oil refineries and so forth? They got the oil industry to help write the regulations. So the oil companies are creating these environmental regulations and safeguards that make it impossible to build new refineries or to open up new oil fields. It's the oil companies. They want the oil in the ground. It's about scarcity.
I saw an article the other day, Richard, where it was ExxonMobil was saying, we're not going to hit the global temperature cap by, you know, 2047 or what it was they were talking about. And I was sitting there reading this going, oh, so this is who we're relying on now? This is who's giving us the, you know, environmental report on whether or not we're going to reach, you know, reducing the temperature of the planet by a certain degree, and something that's ExxonMobil, right? Okay, yeah, it's just interesting how much they're, you know, they were behind Greenpeace back in the day as well. All, you know, it is a big scam, just like you said, Richard.
Well, it what's ironic, Josh, is that I've had people like the late, great Timothy Ball on my show many, many times. And Dr. Patrick Moore, who was the co-founder of Greenpeace until they tried to erase him on Wikipedia. And these people are the ones that often are accused for shilling for big oil. It's like, oh, well, you're denying climate change. You must be paid off by big oil. But it's exactly the opposite, as you've just pointed out.
Yeah, it's not the people who are trying to You know, people just believe whatever cause they're given. And that's the thing. People were given a cause with global warming and climate change. And it's, you know, the same thing with why it was coronavirus first and then became COVID. They changed these names and try to change the definitions. They control the conversation so they can control the flow of the information and what people understand.
So it seems to me that I've seen this document. There was a Club of Rome document where they actually talk about the necessity of creating, you know, sort of galvanizing public opinion, much the same way as the project for a new American century by the
Yeah,
neoliberal
I believe that was the Limits to Growth report in 1972 where they
was.
made those statements. Yes, I believe it is.
But essentially, don't they admit though that
Yes.
they need to create a bogeyman? They need to create something like global warming in order to galvanize people. Like the Project for a New American Century talked about creating a new Pearl Harbor vis-a-vis 9/11 in order to, you know, sort of propel their American the agenda, you know, to create more military bases in the Middle East.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's all, you know, real provable stuff. I know there might be people that maybe knew this information listening, go, what are these guys talking about? And it's look it up, really. It's all true. What Richard just says is all true. Project New for a New American History did call for a new Pearl Harbor in America. And the Club of Rome were calling for some sort of, they weren't real specific, Richard, about what they were wanting as far as some sort of pretext, but yes, they were saying, look, we need something is they're basically something's going to happen. It's going to tip us over the edge, and then there's going to be a call to action, and that's what we're going to have to do. Yeah.
So the Club of Rome, are they still around, or did they simply sort of morph into the World Economic Forum?
Oh no, they're still around. Oh yeah, absolutely, they're still around. The World Economic Forum is something else, and I mean, you have a lot of the same players, a lot of the same people, and stuff, but they have offshoot groups in so many countries, it's hard to even keep up. I mean, you got the Club of Budapest as well, which is one of their offshoots. And they're just, I mean, that's a complete. I'm sorry I have to say this. It's not, it's, there's no easy way to say it. That's, it is a complete socialist, left wing communist organization. The Club of Rome has those tentacles as well, but the Club of Budapest really. Which is an option of cover room, is really ensconced in that. It has a real history going back to it. And a lot of these people are members of the Club of Budapest and the Club of Rome. It's just you know, especially a lot of the celebrity type people like Bono and Bob Geldof and stuff. So it's fascinating.
Who are some of the other prominent members of either the Club of Rome or the Club of Budapest?
Well, you have a lot of it's really Richard, it's a who's who list of all the names people already know if you want to get down to it. I mean, anybody that you've seen, you know, shilling for global warming and stuff and for climate change, those people are connected, even celebrities, like I mentioned there with Bono and I've heard George Clooney was connected to them. You know, I've never seen any hard proof evidence, but that's what I've heard. But I mean, there's you going back to who the members are, you know, Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands, David Rockefeller when he was alive, but the ones that are alive now, people like George Soros and, you know, Henry Kissinger. Oh my God, he's 1,000 years old. He's still kicking around. It's wild. But
Clintons, are the Clintons?
yes, Bill Clinton Bill Clinton for sure is, and as well as Bill Gates as well. And so, you know, again, a lot of these usual boogeymen whose names you hear a lot, well, there's a good reason why you hear their name a lot. There's a good reason why people say George Soros runs this earth. There's a good reason. Believe me, I found it more than ever when I was making this film. Because again, like I said before, my intention normally with films is to bring out something that maybe people don't know a lot about. I didn't have that intention with this film. I knew a lot of people already knew about the Club of Rome. My intention with this film, Richard, was to give people a weapon, a tool, something they could use to maybe, you know, get somebody else off the fence of looking at this stuff and go, look, you know, look at how long these guys have been doing this stuff. First, they tell us this, and they tell us that. And then, especially when you look at the Limits to Growth report from 1972 and you read that with COVID and the pandemic and that whole thing, the lockdowns and everything, when you have that in your mind as you're reading the Limits to Growth report from 1972, it really starts to make the light bulbs go off.
Josh, we'll take a quick time out, come back, and continue to discuss the new documentary from Josh Reeves, Climate of Fear, The Club of Rome. Back with more in a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. We're now crossing a zone of turbulence. Please return your seats and food trays to their upright position and make sure your carry-on luggage is safely stowed. You're about to leave everything you know behind. This is Richard Serrett's Strange Planet. Strange Planet.
Josh Reeves is with us. We're talking about his new documentary, the 15th documentary, and it's called The Climate of Fear, The Club of Rome. How do we screen it? How do we buy it?
You can find it at my download store, payloads.com. It's PAYLOADZ.com. You can just type Josh Reeves download store into a search engine and it'll come up pretty quickly.
All right.
But, you can also find the links at my YouTube channel, Josh Reeves, the Global Reality Channel on YouTube.
All right. And I'll put the links in the episode notes. Many of these organizations, whether we're talking about the Club of Rome or the Bilderbergs or the World Economic Forum, often there is kind of an occult link. Did you find one with the Club of Rome? Are these occultists?
I did not, because I wasn't looking for it. That doesn't mean there isn't. You know, I mean, very well could be. Usually, it's been my experience, Richard, generally when you're looking into any of these people, you're pulling back something. But, you know, I did in some of my older research, in one of my films that I made back in 2009, I came across stuff like how people were saying like the owl at Bohemian Grove was Moloch and all this. And I found out that's not Moloch at all. The owl at Bohemian Grove was Minerva. And that a lot of the elites, and especially ones that trace their lineage back to Rome, I believe they probably, you know, a lot of them are into occult stuff, and they're goddess worship with Minerva and all this stuff. And I wouldn't doubt that there are plenty of people in the Club of Rome that are involved in that stuff, but I did not find that directly in this film because, as I said, I wasn't looking for that in this film. I was really just trying to present the sort of surface level stuff that we for sure know is true, and you know, it's not up for question at all, so people could have something to try and, you know, wake other people up with.
So what is the, I mean, I have a pretty good idea, but I'd like you to talk about the agenda. What is the purpose of fomenting all this fear with the climate change, man-made global warming agenda, collapsing economies? Why are they doing this? Because one might argue, you know, if you're David Rockefeller or, you know, one of the ruling elite and you own a lot of businesses, you need consumers, you need more mouths to feed if you're going to make more money. Why depopulate the planet? That's like shooting yourself in the foot, isn't it?
I actually know it isn't. It boils down to one thing. They believe everything that they do is a means to an end to saving the planet. That's what is so jacked up about it, is they really honestly believe what they're selling. I mean, they believe that they buy with their own stuff they're selling. They really believe that the only solution to saving the planet is by depopulation and the rest of this. You and I were talking before the show, Richard, the film that I made right directly before this one was called Safe But Deadly, The DDT Myth Exposed. And what I found with this research was how, you know, we got sold this bill of goods on DDT being dangerous. And in reality, it turned out to be the most safe and effective thing that was ever made, because it wiped out malaria rates in Africa to such a degree that the elite, and presumably, you'll see in the Club of Rome film, presumably this was definitely the Club of Rome that was behind this. The elites got completely freaked out. They got completely freaked out because they feared a population boom in Africa of black Africans that would eventually take over the world. That's what they were afraid of. So they definitely had an agenda to demonize DDT because they were finding things that are, you know, coming out with these books and stuff saying DDT persists in the environment. It's a carcinogen. Well, when you watch the film, you'll see this archive footage that I have in the film from the Army and stuff, where they're showing you how to make the DDT mixture, and you have to mix it with petroleum products, oil and gas, kerosene stuff, in order to make it work. So they were, people were spraying DDT. Yes, it was persisting in the environment. Yes, it was giving people cancer because of the petrochemicals that were used, that you had to use to make it together. The DDT on its own, without the petrochemicals in it, was completely safe and effective, and it wiped out malaria to the point where the elite said, we got to do something about this. And then the next thing you know, you have the hunger crisis in Africa in the 80s. That was a direct result of what happened in the population explosion that you're scared of happening with DDT. And I 100% believe, after my research into the Club of Rome, they were definitely behind all of that. And for sure, the oil and gas companies, just like we talked about earlier, were involved in a lot of this stuff for global warming. They also had a agenda to demonize DDT because they didn't want people finding out that oil and, you know, petrochemicals were carcinogenic. That's what they were afraid of. So they demonized DDT because it worked too well. And that was something I was not expecting to find. But definitely, it doesn't matter which order, if you watch both of those films, you'll see that for yourself. If you watch the DDT film first and then you watch the Club of Rome film, you'll go, oh, okay, now I see. You'll see the direct line. Even though I don't make that direct line in the film, it's pretty clear that these guys were behind that, because the overpopulation of the planet is what they feel is the number one driver of climate change. That is what they are afraid of, along with, because of the use of resources and how much energy has to be produced and everything else. So their only goal is to do whatever they feel they have to do to save the planet. And if that means killing fellow humans, they're in.
So when you say that they actually believe that they're trying to save the planet, and yet, my question would be, what do they think they're saving the planet from? Because they are active behind the scenes in fudging the data. We know this now with regards to global warming. So are they actually afraid of global warming, or are they fudging the data to create, to fearmonger about a problem that doesn't exist, so they can use that as an excuse to cull the population? And whether it's the Georgia Guidestone formula, which is, you know, what is it, 500,000 people they want left on the planet? I mean, so which is it? Are they creating this, creating the problem, global warming, which isn't real, in order to impose a solution? Or do they actually believe that global warming is a problem?
I think it's a mixture of both. But the point I was trying to make was that they value planet Earth. It's just like I was talking about earlier with the Minerva thing, okay? They're into this whole Gaia worship, Mother Earth spirit thing. And look, that's all well and fine, but they take it to the extreme of where humans, they value the Earth itself more than humans. They really do look at humans, their own self included, who they're among. Well, maybe that's up for debate, right? Maybe they are humans, maybe they aren't, who knows? But my point is, they view humans as a parasite. They don't view humans as being worth anything. They value the planet Earth for some reason, whatever reason. There's a million theories on that, but, you know, they value Earth more than humans and the humans that live on it. And they believe that if they save the planet from destruction, that that's what they're supposed to do. And if humans have to die to make that happen, so be it. So I think that they capitalize on the fact that, as we talked about before, there is changes that happen in the climate of any planet. It doesn't matter where it is. That is the thing that they're capitalizing on, okay? These things come in, I believe that they have a knowledge of the cyclical events that happen with the sun, because, as I found in my research into the Lost Roots of Ancient America films that I made, the ancient people in the past had a knowledge of cyclical events that happen with the sun that basically wipes everything out on Earth. And they were hinting at it and putting it into old rock carvings and everything else. Maybe they were aligning. That's why you have stuff like all these different ancient sites that are aligned to the sun, aligned to the solstices and equinoxes. They had never information on this. I believe the elite today have knowledge of a coming solar cycle. And we're moving. That's the interesting thing now, too. They say this year has been the hottest planet, the hottest recorded year on record on the planet. And what they're not telling anybody is that this is the precursor to a solar maximum we're moving into next year. It begins next year. Solar maximums usually last about 10 or 11 years. And the planet is going to reach the hottest level it's ever been at, ever in history. And whether or not we're burning coal or not, this is going to happen. So I believe that, yes, they do, as you said, Richard, to create things, but I also think they're piggybacking on some of this natural occurring stuff and trying to make it worse. I mean, I wrote a story probably, this was 2009, I wrote a story called Global Warming, Is Global Warming Being Engineered by Chemtrails? Because I found this report about where the Department of Energy was spraying something called sulfur hexafluoride in the sky over in Oklahoma. And it talked about how sulfur hexafluoride is like the number one most toxic greenhouse gas known to man. It's produced by the aluminum industry. If you look at where Alcoa, the aluminum country, is located in Iceland, and there's this giant atmospheric hole right over that area because that's where they produce the most aluminum. What do they find in chemtrails? Aluminum, barium, stuff like that. You know, so these... I definitely think there is a little bit of all this. I think they're attempting to make, definitely with HAARP in the 1980s, the High Altitude Active Auroral Research Project. They were blowing holes in the ionosphere even then. Because there's something interesting, Richard, where a lot of people have, I've never heard anybody else talk about this, but I've come across this in my research. There's something interesting with our atmosphere. There's some sort of self-healing property that our atmosphere has that no one knows where it comes from, so they don't want to talk about it. Because they were finding out in the 80s when they were blasting holes in there with HAARP into the ionosphere that it would repair itself eventually. That's what we heard. The first things we heard in the 80s was all about, you know, holes in the ozone layer and all that. And then they dropped that, and then later they just went on to global warming like we've been talking about. But the reason why they dropped that is because they found that these holes in the ozone layer have some sort of a uncanny ability to repair themselves. And they're definitely not telling us or talking about that at all, Richard. And recently I saw that there were holes blown in the ionosphere by one of Elon Musk's rockets. So a lot of the heat in certain areas that's been going on this summer has been a result of these big holes that have been blown open in the atmosphere by Elon Musk's rockets. And then we're right on the precipice of this new solar maximum. The sun is waking up and it's angry and it's spewing out coronal mass ejections. The next 10 or 11 years are going to be interesting, and they're also going to be pushing the global warming thing more than they ever have, even up to this point, over the next 10 to 11 years.
Right. And El Nino and El Nino also.
It's all part of that. All part of it.
As well.
The number one driver of climate change on Earth is the sun, period, end of story.
100%. Josh Reeves is with us. The Spellcasters trilogy, soon to be four films, The Lost Secrets of Ancient America trilogy. He's got a bunch of films coming out. The latest, well, it's not the latest, but it's the one we're talking about, Climate of Fear, The Club of Rome. Back with more of our conversation right after these.
The truth will set you free. But first, it will really tick you off. Welcome back to Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
Josh Reeves, documentary filmmaker, researcher, talk show host, the Global Reality Channel on YouTube. Very busy man. He's got he's produced six documentaries in 2023 alone. Once again, how do we buy and screen a Climate of Fear or your other The Lost Secrets of Ancient America or The Spellcasters or any of the others?
If they go to my YouTube channel, as you mentioned, Josh Reeves, the Global Reality Channel, they can find the trailers and previews and all that stuff to the films you mentioned there on my YouTube channel. Just go to my videos and scroll through there and you'll see them. And there's links in all those videos, both in the comments and in the read more section of those videos where you can find links. But if you go to, say, Google and you type in Josh Reeves download store, you'll find it rather quickly. But it's been one of those things, Richard, where I like I said, this film was a completely different thing than what I usually normally do, and I just felt compelled to make a film that would give people something they could, show to other people that isn't this is not out there. We're not asking people to take huge leaps of faith in this information at all. This is all really provable, proven out there stuff that these people have been cooking this stuff up since the early 70s.
Right. I mean, because the data is that they're offering up is so demonstrably false. I mean, they talk about, the worst years in the wildfires and so forth, which is a lie. Now, in Canada, we've had some bad wildfires this year, but in the United States, burn acreage is down, down, down. When they talk about hottest temperatures ever, this was the hottest summer. Not true. 1930s, much, much hotter. They talked a few years ago, they were talking about, the worst flooding in history. No, the worst flooding took place in the United States and in China in the 1920s, 1927, I think, in the United States. Everything they offer up is just so easily proven to be false. And yet they keep hammering away at this narrative, obviously to instill fear so that they can impose a solution. That solution ultimately is, well, the goal is depopulation. I mentioned the Georgia Guidestones, which were blown up mercifully during COVID. And I think the stated goal on the Georgia Guidestones, who's ever responsible for those, was a population of something like 500,000, a half a million people on this planet. What is the Club of Rome, do you think? What is their stated objective? Is it the same, half a million people?
I've never heard any specific numbers that I could quote you, Richard, but the numbers to me don't really matter when you look at the fact that they emphatically state and, are clearly connected to things that are depopulation and eugenics agendas. I mean, right down to the food and, glyphosate and all this stuff. I mean, these people are all in bed together and they're all serving each other's interests, and that's generally how, you have with organized crime or anything else. That's really what these guys are. They're global gangsters, really.
And how do you think they intend to achieve depopulation? Because whatever they're doing now, it's not working. I mean, the population is
Well, I think
approaching
you
like
said it
8.5
earlier, Richard.
billion.
I mean, to a certain extent, they still need us. That's the problem. And that's why I think we need to worry about some of the stuff they're doing now with robotics and AI and the rest of it. That's when it's really going to come home to roost. That I don't think a lot of people are thinking about in terms of all this stuff. Like, we all love gadgets and tech, and I love it as much as anybody. But fact of the matter is, it's all going to come home to roost eventually. And I think that how they're going to do it, they're going to continue to do things like what we've already seen: pandemics, wars, the tried and true things that they know work, poisoning the food, poisoning the water supply, everything. I think they're going to continue to do that. Now, that's not to say there might not be some big event coming that they may try to pull off to depopulate a bunch of us, a world war, whatever. I mean, I think there are a lot of different options on the table, and I would just be speculating to say what I think there are. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to go about it, but the fact of the matter is, they want to go about it. They want this to happen. And if you look at just what we know they've already been up to, it's pretty scary.
I have a daily radio program here in Toronto, and as I'm recording this today, I had Ed Dowd on the program. He's been with me many times, former BlackRock portfolio manager turned whistleblower, and he wrote the book Unknown Cause, talking about this spike in excess deaths in 2021 and 2022, of course, which coincides with the rollout of the COVID
Vaccine.
product. And we're talking about a 40% increase in excess deaths in working-aged Americans. This is data that comes from One America Life Insurance Company. 40%, like a 10% spike in excess deaths, is like a 1 in 200 year event. We're talking about a 40% spike. So maybe it's the COVID products. If it's not killing people or sterilizing people, It's debilitating people pretty effective, you know, because it shows no sign of slowing down these excess deaths.
No, not at all. And that's the thing about it is that, you know, it doesn't matter what we've, you know, what we've seen, or it's going to continue. That's the whole thing. I heard something one day. I don't know where this came from or anything else, but I'm not going to sit here and say it didn't alarm me, but I'm not vaccinated. I would never get vaccinated. I was on that train long before COVID was ever around, you know. I heard the other day they said that within 5 years, or I don't know, this may be complete BS. I'm not sure, but I heard the other day something like within 5 years, everyone that took the COVID vaccine will be dead. That's crazy. And that what we're seeing right now we're already seeing the effects of it now. Like you said, the 40% increase and all this stuff. I absolutely think that 100% people can see in my film, Climate of Fear, The Club of Rome, that absolutely this is part of the Club of Rome's agenda. Absolutely. Especially when you look at how global temperatures dropped during the lockdowns and how CO2 emissions dropped. That's when I knew. When I saw that report, that's when I knew, okay, now I know who's behind this. I knew right then that it was the Club of Rome, because that fits right in with their agenda to not only have you get depopulation and everything else, but to get people locked down, staying inside, and then you reduce the temperature of the planet. I knew immediately they had their fingerprints all over it whenever I saw it. So yeah, I'm call me a crazy conspiracy theorist if you want. I absolutely believe with all my heart and soul that the Club of Rome is behind COVID. They're behind the vaccines. They're behind all of this. This is definitely part of their agenda, and they're the number one group in the world that you could definitely pin the tail on the donkey to as far as being the likely culprit behind COVID. Absolutely.
My sense, though, and I'm kind of encouraged, particularly after COVID.
People are waking up.
They're waking up. Are we waking up enough and in time to put a stop to this?
That's a great question. I don't know, but you're right. Listen, I think we have reason to have at least a little bit of hope, because I've seen people who were, you know, what you would call dyed-in-the-wool, pinko commie lefty liberals. Mm-hmm. I've seen those types now realize they got sold a bill of goods with COVID and the vaccines. I've seen those type of people turning the corner and now starting to question things. And, you know, maybe, as you said, it's hard to tell if that's too little too late, or, you know, I think it's good because they're going to try to run this again. I think they already are right now. I mean, they're already talking about new variants. There's a new variant out and bringing back masks. You know, this completely ridiculous stuff that they're talking about doing again. But I think we're going to be better if they try it a second time. Because I've said, even since my earliest days of doing this, when I started my own show in 2007, I was saying, what's going to be their undoing ultimately, the whoever, the New World Order, whatever, the elite, what's going to ultimately be their undoing, they're going to overplay their hand. It happens every time. Doesn't matter. They're going to overplay their hand. What they're going to do, they're going to play and plan. They're going to get us with stuff like 9/11 and COVID and whatever else. But eventually, they're going to overplay their hand, and to the point where it's so obvious that what they did is an operation. It's a total op. People are going to go, nope, not falling for that again. They got me the other times. They're not getting me this time. And it's going to cause a mass awakening. And we may very well be on the precipice of that now, because there are a lot of people, nobody, even when they're talking about the new boosters and all this stuff, even the people that were lined up to get them before are not saying they're going to go get the new one. So, I mean, yeah, it's easy to dwell on the negative. There's plenty of that to go around. But just the fact that you've had some of these dyed-in-the-wool lefty liberals who now are waking up and seeing they got bought, you know, sold a bill of goods. Maybe if they watch, you know, Club of Rome, Climate of Fear, maybe that might push them over the edge. That was my intention with this film, not to act like I was bringing out any new info people didn't know about. People know about the Club of Rome. I just wanted people to know more and have something they could show to others, really.
Well, look at Huntington Beach in California, a deep, deep blue state, Huntington Beach. Their city council just voted no mask mandates, no vaccine mandates in Huntington Beach. That speaks to, well, what you were just referring to, the extent to which people are waking up, even the radical left in some cases are getting, well, let's use the term red pilled for shorthand, but that's basically what it means, waking up. Josh Reeves, is the host of the Global Reality Channel on YouTube. And of course, you can watch many, many, many documentaries that he's producing feverishly. He's just working around the clock. Help this guy out and help yourself out. Educate yourself and share this information with your friends. Have a watch party, a watching party or a viewing party, whatever you call it, and rent or buy Climate of Fear, The Club of Rome. And the link to do so is in the episode description. Just click on that link and that'll take you right to where you can purchase and download not only Climate of Fear, The Club of Rome, but his Lost Secrets of Ancient America trilogy, The Spellcasters, which is terrific. We've talked about a number of episodes on this podcast. And it's always great to talk to you, Josh. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you so much, Richard. Yeah, my newest one is called Aliens or Not. It's about the fake alien invasion. It's everything you need to know. Got to get it, folks.
Ooh, Project, is that Project Blue Book?
Yeah, no, we get into Project Blue Beam. We get into Blue all Beam. We dispel a lot of the myths and stuff around. There's a lot of fake information, false information around Blue Beam. But I get into all of that. I get into how NASA attempted to fake an alien invasion in 1967. I have all the evidence and all the proof. It's a great film. I hope people get it.
Ooh, okay. Well, we're going to get you back on real soon and talk about that, Josh. Thank you.
A new Richard Serrett's Strange Planet drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Subscribe at StrangePlanetPodcast.com.